Hi folks, this is Joe Stagner from Microsoft with video number 2 in the ASP.NET MVC for the Rest of Us series. Hopefully you watched the first video where you got a brief overview of ASP.NET MVC as well as watched us build an ASP.NET MVC Hello World program. In this video, we're going to take that one step further and build a real bit of functionality into an ASP.NET application. And that functionality that we're going to build is an ASP.NET MVC Contact Us form that not only gathers data from the user by way of an HTML form, bundles that up, and sends an email message to the webmaster. So to do that, let's get started by creating a new ASP.NET MVC2 project, and since this is just a demo, we'll forego unit testing. And you'll recall that as an MVC application, we have a directory structure, that is a convention for us that includes models, views, and controllers. Well, since we're going to create a form for the user to fill in the fields and send us a message, we're going to have to add an HTML form, and that's going to be by way of a view. So if we open up the views directory, you'll see that there are three folders. Let's open those up and have a look at what's contained therein. So you can see down here in the shared folder, we have what you'd expect, some materials that are shared across multiple pages in our application. So for example, the site master page, a logout control, and a generic error page. Then we have these two other directories. We have account and we have home. You'll notice that in the account section, each one of these views has to do with some piece of functionality presented to the user around the ASP.NET 2.0 membership management features. So if we look in the home folder, we can see the index.aspx, which is the default view, as well as the about.aspx view. So because our contact form is not going to be a whole functional sub area of our site like the account management section is, we're going to go ahead and put our new contact us view inside the home views collection. So to do that, I'm going to right click on home, select add, choose view, and then just enter the name of the view that I want to create. Now at this point, we're not going to worry about partial view or strongly typed views. We're just going to take the defaults using the one master page that the site uses. We'll go ahead and click add, and here you can see what gets generated for us is a contact view that has a couple of content placeholders and a title. Now at this stage, let's go ahead and run the application just as it is to illustrate a significant point about ASP.NET MVC applications. And that point is that there's no direct relationship between files and requests. So remember that we put our view in the same home folder as the about view. So here we are at about, and you can see that the URL we navigated to was our website, whack home, whack about. So based on that naming convention, we should be able to navigate to home whack contact to see our contact view, but you'll note that we get a 404 here. It's not found, and that's because, as I mentioned, there's no direct correlation between files and requests. The reason we can't find that is that we don't have a controller that knows how to process a request for contact. Since we placed our views in the home folder, we'll be using the home controller to access it. So you'll note here that there are a collection of action results in this controller that specify what should take place when that request is made. We need an action result to handle requests for contact. So I'm going to declare an action result, call it contact, and we're going to return a view. Now, again, this is where naming conventions come in an ASP.NET MVC application, because I could specify the name of the view by sending a parameter to the call to that view method if I wanted to. But the convention is that the default view, so when no argument is passed in, we're going to look for a view whose name is contact. Right? Now if we run our application, and navigate. We can enter contact. Now what we'll see is our contact view is being displayed. So all we have is the contact header. We haven't implemented any content there, but we can now navigate to it. So there's now an entry in our home controller that knows what to do with a request for WAC contact, and that is to send it to our contact view. Now, notice that there's still no menu item for our contact page. So let's go ahead and add that by going into our shared folder inside Views, clicking on Site Master, going down and finding the menu container, and you'll notice that in these unordered lists here, we have a couple of items for the menu items that we saw. We're going to add another one for contact. Now, we're using the HTML helper here for action link, and that takes three parameters. One is just the text that will be displayed. The next is the action that will be requested. And last is the controller that will be used to process that request. So now if we run our application, what we should see is a menu that includes a link to our contact form. And we can click on it, and we've navigated to the contact form itself. So the next thing that we're going to do is start to round out our contact view. And in order to do that, the first thing that I'm going to do is go out and fetch some CSS, because I want my contact form to be both well-styled using CSS classes, but I'm also going to use CSS to implement a neat little behavior just to improve the aesthetic quality of the user interface, as well as to provide hints to the user as to what's going on with each keystroke. So I'm going to go get that CSS, and I'll be right back. Okay, I found the CSS that I want to use, and I'm going to copy and paste it into my site.css file, which can be found in the content folder of our solution. So here's our CSS. I'm just going to scroll down and append the CSS for my contact form to the bottom of my site's CSS file. So you'll note here that there's a bunch of formatting stuff, something that will do a little bit of alignment. So a real detailed exploration of CSS is beyond the scope of this video, but suffice to say that I'm assuming that you understand that CSS can be used both to provide the aesthetic attributes to HTML form elements as well as some behaviors that are also associated with those form elements. So now that we've done that, we can go ahead and save that CSS file. Now I'm going to go back into my contact view, and we're going to start to build out the HTML form that we want to work with. So to do that, the first thing I'm going to do is, let's get rid of this header section. We're not going to need that. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to add a div, and I'm going to specify an ID that corresponds with the name of a CSS class in the file that I just appended to. Right, so call that left side. And that's the container that will position my contact form. So the next thing I'm going to do is open up the HTML form by using a ASP.NET MVC HTML helper called begin form. And I'm going to do all of my form work inside the context of a using statement. So I can say using HTML begin form. And then I need the open paren for my form. And then while I'm here, I'm going to specify the closing paren just so I make sure that I keep my form syntactically correct. Now let's wrap all of the form fields in a div, and then I can start with a field set. Before I start implementing fields, let's go ahead and add a legend. And with the text contact us. Okay, now we can start entering the actual fields. And as I mentioned, I want my fields, and in fact my whole form, to be styled by CSS classes. So in order to do that, rather than just define the HTML fields inside my form, I'm going to encapsulate them all in divs so that those divs can pick up the styling for the CSS classes that I want to be working with. So to do that, for each label, I'm going to create a div whose class is form underscore label. And notice that Visual Studio 2010 is giving us really good IntelliSense here for the user-defined CSS classes that are included in my CSS file. So it's a great feature. And then for each text box, I'm also going to have a div whose CSS class will be div form text box. Now for the label, we're going to say output, so we're using the into code shorthand there, and then the colon tells us that we're going to emit the product of whatever comes next. Now we're going to use an HTML helper where we say html.label, and we'll specify what we want the label to contain. In our case, it's just going to say name, because that's what we want to be entered in the associated text box. Now here, we will do a similar thing where we'll say html.textbox. Now notice that there are four different overloaded constructors for the HTML text box helper. And we'll pick the one that's the most appropriate for us. Now in our case, the first argument is going to be that what we want the name of the text box to be. Now, this is important for two reasons. First, if we're going to write JavaScript that manipulates our form field variables on the client side, then our JavaScript code will access this text box by virtue of this name. The other thing that's important is that if our form gets posted back inside the request object, we're going to look for the form field's collection, and we're going to be extracting the values based on these names. So the name that we choose here is important. Now, the version of the constructor that we need to use is going to take three arguments, because we need to specify some attributes to the text box that's being created. One of the attributes in this constructor is a value, if we want to initialize the text box with a value. In our case, we don't, so we're just going to specify that that parameter is null. And next, we're going to create an attribute to assign to our text box. And to do that, I'm going to say new class equal, and I'm going to specify the class name. Now, to Visual Studio, this is just text, so that's why there's no IntelliSense here. But the name of the class will be form text box. Okay? So we're going to need a few more of these, and rather than make you watch me type through them, I'm going to go away and I'm going to fill in the blanks, and I'll be right back. Okay, so I've flushed out the rest of our form. One thing that I want to point out here is that this last pair of labels and text box is a little bit different. It uses a different CSS class, and the reason is if we go and navigate to that CSS class, we'll see that I've specified that one needs to be a little bit larger. So we look at the one that's specified as area. I've changed the height of that so that I can use a multi-line text box, and that's for the actual message. So if we go ahead and run this just as it is, you'll find out that our form is in place, but we have some formatting issues we need to contend with. All right, so notice that's not exactly what we want our form to look like. We're bleeding out of the upper area of our design there. So this is easy to solve. I'm just going to clear the formatting by adding a div and using the CSS class clear that I've specified in my CSS file. While we're at it, we're going to need a submit button. So this is just going to be a standard HTML submit button. So input type equals submit. Let's see. Let's specify a value equal click to send, and a class. And I know that we have a button class in here somewhere, so submit button. One more thing we take advantage of here. Here up at the top of our form, just under the beginning of the form, let's add a validation summary by saying, let's emit, and again using the HTML helper. And I'm going to specify true because I want the validation summary to provide indications on my form. And then I can just specify the message that I want to emit when validation fails. So I can say your contact submission failed. Please correct the errors and try again. Okay, now wait for IntelliSense to catch up here and we'll be ready to run our form again. So let's do that. Now you can see that we have the form in place, we've got the formatting, we have some interesting behavior that we're picking up from our CSS file, so as we hover or highlight in each box, we get some feedback that that's what we're currently working with. But if we add some information in this form and click submit, notice looks like a submit happens, all the values are gone, so that sort of view state that we get in an ASP.NET Web Forms application isn't happening, but we haven't actually implemented any logic behind our code. So in order to do that, we're going to have to add some logic to our controller to send the email, but we're also going to have to add some logic to support the data that we want to pass back and forth, and we'll do that by virtue of implementing a model. So let's get ready and do that. So to add a model for our contact form, I'll select the Models folder, right-click, select Add New Item, choose a class, and name it the same as our view, which will be Contact. Go ahead and add. Now here inside our contact class form, I should say contact class file. The first couple of things we're going to need are some additional namespaces. So let's say using system.web.mvc. And let's select system.componentModel and the component model data annotations namespace. And then lastly, we're going to be sending email. So let's select system.net.mail. Next, we're going to need a data element in our class for each of the form field variables that we're going to work with. So let's say we need a public string that we'll call sender name. And this is a property, so we'll add the getSet methods. And now we're going to provide some validation criteria that will be used by the form field validation when the user tries to submit. So the first thing we're going to say is this is a required field. The next thing that we're going to do is specify a data type requirement. So we'll say data type is text. Okay, so when the user submits their field, submits their form, if the sender's name field is either not filled in or doesn't contain text value, then their submission will fail and they'll get that validation summary error that we specified in our code. Right? So we're going to need a few more fields here. Let me go ahead and grab the code for that so you don't have to watch me type it. So I've added the rest of the data values for our view, right? So sender's name, sender's email, notice the email data type requirement, subject and the message, notice that the data type is multi-line text for the message. Now let's add an interface to a service, and this is where we're actually going to do the email. So this is going to be a service method. So we're going to say that this interface will require the implementation of a Boolean method called sendContact. And sendContact will have to pass in a collection of strings, sender name, oops, and sender's email. And subject. And the actual message itself. All right, so that's all that must be implemented in our service method. Now let's add the class for that contact service. So we can say and our parameter list is going to be just this for our method. Oops, go ahead and just grab this whole thing. And here is just where we'll implement the code that actually sends the email message. So let me grab some code to do that. So here's the code for sending email using system.net.mail. Right, so you just create a mail message, specify an SMTP client. Obviously, this is not a real server name, and these are not real credentials, but these will be used in your code. You'll have to substitute your own mail server credentials in order to send the email. Now, that's the method that we need for sending the contact information, and we've implemented our model, but we've still got one more step. Our controller needs to know what to do when somebody posts back one of those forms. So let's go ahead and go modify our controller now. So here we are back in our home controller. Before we continue, let's go ahead and build our solution so that the solution knows about the contact model that we just implemented. In order to code against it here, we're going to have to say using myApplicationName.model, and then we can code against the model for our contact. Now, we already have an action result for contact requests. But as I mentioned in the previous video, ASP.NET MVC is HTTP aware. So the default request for the contact view is made via an HTTP GET. When a user fills out that form and clicks on the submit button, that request, that post back, is made using an HTTP POST. So what we can do in the ASP.NET MVC controller is to say, we're going to implement another action result for contact, but this one we're going to decorate with an attribute that specifies that this will handle HTTP POST requests. Now, if we build now, we'll get an error because it tells us that the home controller already defines a member called contact with the same parameters. But that's okay because we actually need to pass in the model for our contact form. So in order to do that, we'll just say contact model. And here we can specify that we're going to check the model state. So we'll say if model state dot is valid, then we're going to try and send the form. Otherwise, there was an error, and we can feed the validation summary with an error message. So let's say model state dot add model error, and here notice that we can pass in, there are two different overloaded models here, right? You can pass in either an exception or an error, and I'm just going to pass in a static message that says your message could not be sent. Now obviously we could do a lot more error checking here, see if we could correct the error or what have you, but this will give us the default. Now let's build and let's run this and see where we are so far. Now we haven't started wiring up the sending routine yet, but if I just don't fill anything in and I click on the submit, notice it tells us your message could not be sent, complete with my spelling errors. And it highlights one of the boxes, and notice that they're pink, right? So it tells us that these are the ones that created the problem. So let's continue our implementation here a little bit. So if the model state is valid, then we want to try and send the email. And in order to do that, we're going to create an instance of our contact service. And then we're going to try and see if we can actually send the email. So we're going to say if, and then we're going to call the send contact method on our contact service, passing in all of the parameters. So remember, we need the sender's name, the sender's email, the subject, and the message. Now where are we going to get those from? We don't have view state like we had in ASP.NET web forms, but what we do have is the model, right? So because we've used the naming conventions for ASP.NET MVC, the model that we've implemented automatically is populated with the corresponding, with the values from the corresponding form field names. So we can say model dot sender name model dot sender email model.subject and model.message. And if that was successful, we're going to take a specific action. If it was unsuccessful, then we'll just do something like this. Now in your application you might want to use some more specific messaging to help identify what the problem is. Now if it's successful, what we want to do is we want to send the user to another view that tells them that everything is wonderful. So let's go back into our views folder and home, and let's specify that we want to add a new view, and we'll call this contact success. And here in contact success, we just say thanks, your message has been sent. Let's save that. We're going to use that name. Go back into the home controller, and here what we're going to do is simply return, instead of the default, we're going to return the view that we just created contact success. Now let's go ahead, run our application. Let's enter some text. I'll enter a valid email address this time. A message. Click the submit button. And notice that after success, we were directed to the contact success view, and that email message will appear in my personal email inbox momentarily. So that's it. Hopefully this gives you a good idea at getting started with adding some real functionality, some real meat to our ASP.NET MVC. Just by way of review, what we've done here is implement a view, wire up the controller to route requests to that view, and then add functionality by creating a model. Even though we're not using a database, and using creating models from databases is where ASP.NET MVC really starts to excel. But we manually implemented a model, then use that model in our controller to process the request, send the email, and then handle success or failure appropriately. So hopefully this gives you enough information to get started in customizing your own ASP.NET MVC application.